Bible, let's open up 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. You find that place, let's stand together. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I sure appreciate those songs. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we need the help of the Lord. You pray for us, the Lord will help us. And if God will help us, maybe He'll help all of us. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You find that place, you're able to stand with us. We'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And I've said 100 times, maybe more, I guess, but you don't have to stand to reverence Him. I much more appreciate you reverencing Him in your heart. Amen. Notice what the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 15, and there's just a lot that's happening in this passage of Scripture, but I'm going to start and I'm going to skip around a bunch of places. Chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel and how he did laid for wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. And he said, utterly destroy all that they have. He said, spare not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telamin, said 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart ye from among the Amalekites. He said, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Bible says, verse 7, so Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Notice verse 9, the Bible says, but Saul and the people spared Agag. Notice verse number 13, Samuel came to Saul, said, blessed be thou the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord. He said, verse 14, Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears, and lo, the lowing of oxen which I hear. Notice the Bible said, and Saul said, they brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I'll tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. He said unto him, say on. He said, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, he said, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king of Israel. Said, the Lord set thee on the journey. Said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they be consumed. But the last verse, I'm going to read the next two verses. He said, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? He said, but didst fly upon the spoil? Didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And God, we sure are thankful for another time. And God, just to get to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I sure pray that you'd help us for a few minutes of time. I pray, God, set our affection in our eyes, Lord, just a little above this crowd, and help us, Lord, to be focused in on the Christ. Father, we sure enough need your help in the service today. And God, if you don't help us, we're in trouble. But God, I am persuaded that you've never let one promise fall to the ground. And God, you said wherever two or three would be gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us to preach and the power and unction of the Holy Ghost to God. Help me not to say anything contrary to the precious word of God. And God, I pray that you give us utterance and to say everything that we ought to say, and wisdom not to say anything we shouldn't. Father, help us to be a help to the people, and God, to reach out to sinners. But above everything, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to magnify the Savior. And Lord, we sure love you and we thank you. Ask you for help now. In Christ's name, we humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm primarily interested, of course, in this verse. The Bible said in verse number 17, he said, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own own sight. He said, "Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel?" Probably maybe a lot of folks in here understand. But there was a time that Israel did not have a king, and nor did they need a king. Amen. It was a time that Israel's headship was none other than the Heavenly Father. And when they came out of the land of Egypt, and my friend, it was not a king that led them. But the Bible says that there was a pillar of fire by night, and there was a cloud by day. And they kept their eyes on heaven, and God took them the right way. And like how it says it over in Psalms 107. And when he said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," it said, "For he is good." And thank God the Bible said in verse 2, "And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemies." And it lists, and the Bible said, he gathered them out of their lands, out of the east and out of the west, out of the north and out of the south. It said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, hungry and thirsty their soul, and fainted in them. And then they cried to the Lord in their distresses, and he delivered them out of their trouble. And the Bible said that he led them by the right way into the city of habitation. I'm telling you, thank God that they did not need a king, that they had a Heavenly Father. But oh, by and by, God had already written down in his word, he said, "There's going to be a day, and you're going to get over there in the land of the Canaanites," and he said, "You're going to see they got a king, and you're going to want a king too." And he made provisions for that king. And listen, God was going to give him a king. He was going to be a good name, man. And listen to me, friend, I say this to folks all the time, that don't never settle for something good when God's got something great. Amen. And so they settled for King Saul, because King Saul looked good. He looked like what they wanted their king to look like. But they was looking on the outside, and God was looking on the inside. Amen. And God had him a little shepherd boy in training, and getting ready to be their king. And so Saul's on the throne, and the man for just a little while. Oh, Saul's doing pretty good on the throne. He's handling matters. Everybody's pretty happy about the fact that they've just got a couple of victories, and God's been helping them, Brother Tanner. But now all of a sudden, it's not looking the same way that it was. And what happened first in his own life, as old Saul felt like he ought to offer where he didn't have no business offering. He ought to waited on the priest, and instead of waiting on the priest, he said, "I made myself do it." And old Samuel told him, he said, "This day hath the Lord rent the kingdom out of your hand." He said, "Cause the Lord's after somebody that's after his own heart." Amen. And so old Saul already understand how the face of judgment again. And now God's giving him a second chance. He said, "You go out there," and he said, "You utterly wipe out all the Amalekites." He said, "Don't you spare nothing in the land." Hey, you remember it was those Amalekites that was the first to attack Israel when they came out of the Canaan land. It said, "Then came Amalek." And God has not forgot that. He said, "It's time to get rid of the enemy." Amen. But instead of getting rid of the enemy, old King Saul said, "I believe I'll just hold on. I believe I'll just hold on to what looks good. I'll keep old Agag. I'm going to keep the best sheep. I'm going to keep the best of everything." That sounds like a lot of us sometimes, don't it? How God says, "Get rid of that." How we say, "We'll get rid of the stuff we don't like. How are we going to hold on to the stuff we do?" Amen. Hallelujah to God. But I want to say this to you, friend. All of a sudden they came back and Samuel shows up. And Saul's feeling pretty good about himself until Samuel shows up. Until the old man of God shows up. And when the man of God shows up with the word of God, the old king looks at him. He thinks he's going to be a good one. And so he says what they say. He said, "Say on, preacher. Say on." Amen. But the preacher ain't got nothing much good to say. He said, "Now hold on just a minute, neighbor." He said, "If you've done everything God said," he said, "how come I still hear sheep in my ear?" He
place and I ought not hear no sheep. I ought not hear no bleating of lamb. I ought not hear nothing like that. And he said, oh, I have followed. Amen. And the Lord said, hath God has so great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying and the voice of the Lord. Amen. Hey, you know what happened to Saul? Hath God help me for a few minutes of time. Hey, you know what happened in Saul's life? And what happened in around there? Hath Saul just got too big for his britches. Amen. And that's what happened in his life. How Saul was doing good. Here's what Samuel said. He said, when you was little in your own sight, he said, God took you out of there and he put you way up there. And he said, but somewhere between here and there, hey, you got too big for your britches. And he said, now you ain't no use to God. And I want to say this to you, and I'm going to move on. I'm up on everything. I was talking to Josh and Brother Donnie, and we were just talking this week. And I've been thinking about it for a pretty good while. And man, I listen. I love this church. Don't you love this church? And man, I love what God's letting us see do. I love the missionaries that we get to help. I love the folks in the community we get to help. I love the coach, Brother Dammer, we get to do. I mean, I love it. I love everything about that. But every now and then I'll go back in my mind and I'll go back to that old building. And we didn't probably have a lot of money to help a lot of missionaries. And we didn't probably have Brother Wayne, a lot of things like that. Had about 40 people in that place. And but boy, whenever folks showed up and we'd get to singing something like I'm a-going that way, it wouldn't be about 10 people singing it. It'd be a whole church. It was just a worshiping the Lord through that song. Amen. And I thank God when it came time for preaching. And praise God, it wasn't just one or two of us. But I felt like Brother Bill, every time I preached, as a whole church of folk, it was a helping me preach. Amen. And man, I enjoyed that. And I got praying about that. And I got to thinking, Lord, help us not to get too big for our britches. Amen. I mean, let us not forget, thank God, how God's helped us up to this point. I'm not interested in settling in. I'm not interested, friend. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I hope you're not. I hope nobody get too hurt at me this morning. And the message will be a good one. Amen. If God will help me preach it. Amen. But I want to say this to you. I thank God I'm not interested in just coming and sitting. Amen. I'm not interested in a church of folk. I just comes and sat. If that's what you're interested in, thank God. And there's probably a church or two down the road. And I'd encourage you to get in behind it and to thank God and sit for the glory of God. Amen. But I'm sitting right here. And boy, I miss that time. Amen. I miss it, thank God. And when it came time to say, and we maybe didn't have 10 people to go visiting, but we had 10 people that went visiting. Amen. Oh, I like that, thank God. And listen, don't get too big for your britches. Amen. And listen, I want you to hear me today. And I hope the Lord will help me. I'm not down. I mean it. I'm praying God to help us. Amen. I think, thank God, I hope if the Lord will help us. I mean, I hope the Lord will grow the church. But I hope God will grow us right. I'm not interested in losing worship. I'm not interested in losing old time religion. I'm not interested in singing new songs. I'm not interested in leaving this Bible. I'm interested in worshiping a thrice holy God. Amen. And so let me say this to you. Just a few things tonight. That'd be a real simple message about let's not get too big for our britches. Amen. And the first thing I want to say to you is if you're going to ever fit in some places, and you're just going to have to get real small in order to sit there. Amen. There's some places you get too big for your britches. Hey, you can't fit in some places that God wants you to fit in anymore. Amen. I thought about this little chair. Y'all saw that. I brought me a little chair. Hey, Callie, I need somebody from your class to come sit in this little chair. Somebody can mind for just a minute. Hey, come on up here, Juju. You come sit with me. And she's on her way. This little chair right here, this little chair fit her just fine. Every time old Kevin probably got her in a little trouble last time since she didn't listen to me real good. That's what we want to help her. She's got a little chair right here. And you know, in order to fit in this chair, hey, you're going to have to be about her size. Amen. I mean, this chair right here, it's made just for her. As she sits in this little chair, I'm going to sit with you, all right, honey? As she sits in this little wheelchair. Every time her mama gets up there, and every Sunday morning, Brother Joshua, her mama gets to teaching the Word of God, and sitting back there in that thing, and she occupies this little seat, and there'll be somebody to the left of her, and there'll be somebody to the right of her, and her little soul fits in this little seat right here. But I want to say this to you, it won't be too long till she'll be too big for this little seat right here. Amen. Hey, you can go sit with your mama. Come here, Owen. I want you to sit in this chair with me, son. And now listen, Owen, he's probably not near as happy about it. He thinks this is a little kid seat. That's the old Owen's already got too big for his britches. He said that seat right there. Now here's what I want you to understand. There was a time that old Owen fit in this same seat, and he enjoyed sitting in this seat. He said, "What a seat, amen. I'm glad there's a God that would let me sit in that seat." But now all of a sudden, you know, Owen's grown up a little bit, and he's just a little too big to sit in that seat. Go sit down. Davis, come on up here. I want you to sit in it, son. Here's what you find. And now all of a sudden, the bigger I get, the more ashamed they are to sit in the little seat. Amen. Have that little seat right there. And you say, "Preacher, that seat don't fit him. That seat's not for him." Oh, I know they got bigger seats. I know they make seats that fit him better. But as long as he won't forget where he came from, God will help him. Amen. You stay right there, son. I'll tell you what God done with Saul. God went and found Saul when he was a little fella, and he was sitting in a little seat, and he didn't know nothing, and he didn't know nobody. And God said, "Saul, I appreciate you having that little seat." He said, "Since you took the little seat," he said, "I got a big one for you. Hey, you just go ahead and sit right there." And oh boy, listen, for a little while, old Saul, he's sitting now on the throne. I'm going to tell you this, you listen to me. If you'll get real small, and God will let you sit in some seats that you wouldn't be able to sit in otherwise. Yeah. Oh yes, amen. Some folks are too big to sit in the little seat. But God's looking for somebody that'll sit in the little seat, amen. And so he's sitting there, thank God. And the old King Saul sits in the little seat. And God says, "King Saul," he said, "you ain't nobody." And Saul said, "I know I ain't nobody." He said, my tribe and the Benjaminites, he said, "they're the smallest tribe in our whole nation." And then he goes on, Brother Peel, and he said, "my family," he said, "it's the smallest in all the families." He said, "I know I ain't nobody." And God said, "Praise the Lord." Amen. That's the kind of fella I'm looking for. I'm looking for the kind of person who realizes he's real small. I'm looking for the kind of person who realizes he's a nobody. I'm looking for the kind of person that remembers where he came from, and that I might promote him to sit in another seat. Amen. And so King Saul gets to sit in a big boy chair. And while he's sitting in this chair, he got to see things he never saw in this chair. I mean, he got to listen, Shana. He got to see the majesty of God sitting in this seat right here. And Brother Creston, he's sitting in this glorious seat. And he looks back and he says, "Man, I can't believe what all I've got to see since God brought me up out of the little chair and he put me up on the big chair. I wish some of y'all would help me on that a little more." That's what I was talking about to start with. Amen. Hey, you remember when God took you out of the little seat and he put you on a big seat? Amen. And then he gets sitting here in this big chair and he gets to see all kinds of majesty. And then he gets to see something that they ain't seen in a long time. And he gets to see a lot of victory. Amen. Yeah. That boy's sitting in the big seat and he's seeing the Lord do some victory. Amen. He's seeing God really come down. And the brother Delmer getting to helping him. And he says, "Oh yes." He said, "Now I'm royalty. I'm sitting in the seat of majesty. And everywhere I go, I experience victory." And all of a sudden, and something changes in his heart, and something changes in his mind, and he gets to thinking he deserves the big seat. And when he gets to thinking he deserves the big seat, the man of God says, "No, you're going to have to get out of that seat. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Oh, when you get to come up here now, sit in the little seat, son. This ain't optional. Sit in the little seat. set the little seed, and he brings up the little one. He brings up somebody who would have been happy not to have sat in the little seed. He brings up somebody who would have been content and just to stay right there. And he said, Saul, you're demoted. He said, thank God, David, you're promoted. And don't ever forget that God's not looking for somebody big, amen. Looking for somebody little, thank God. That God's not interested in two. And so now they're in different seats. And they got to sit there and they got to fight in different ways. Listen to me, I want you to hear me. Hey, so a lot of folks, if you're not real careful, you've forgotten what it's like had to sit in the little seat, had to be sitting there as the little end on something real big, and to find joy in it, and to find glory in it. And then you get used to being saved, and you go sitting in the big seat, and you get to thinking you're somebody, and you get to flexing out, you know, and the wings pop out, and the halos go up, and all of a sudden you forget where it was God found you from, and you forget where it was and God promoted you out of. But I'm telling you, thank God, what happens? You get just a little too big for your britches, amen. Oh yeah, I don't know how it worked in your house. I know how it worked in my house. Whenever my mom and my dad said, you're getting a little too big for your britches, I knew what was coming next, amen. Somebody help me right there. I mean, this ain't liberal California, thank God. We still believe what the Bible says, amen. I'm saying this foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction, it'll drive it far from them. That's what the book says, amen. I believe what the Bible says, don't you, amen. I'm not for beating on kids. Don't you misunderstand me. I'm going to say this. If you're a child of God, and thank God you run around saying you're saved, and you're without chastisement, hey, the Bible says, not Kevin Sexton, not Amazing Grace, but the word of an almighty God says, you are a bastard and not a son, amen. Oh, yeah, he got sitting there. And listen, you know what was wrong for David? I mean, for old King Saul for the rest of his days. Brother David, you know why he was so miserable for the rest of his life? He remembered what it was to get to sit in the big seat whenever he was little in his own sight. And the rest of his life, he was miserable because God took him and he put him back down in the little seat. I'm saying this, thank God. If you'll sit in the little seat, God will help you to sit places that you never thought you would see it. Oh, King David sitting over here, he said, man, I can't even believe this thing. I was happy to be a shepherd. I was happy to tend the sheep. And God said, oh no, I'm going to set you on a throne, and it's going to be so good. That throne's going to be established forever, amen. And there's going to be a day, thank God, that there's going to be a little bigger shepherd. Oh, King David, he's going to say, this is a good seat, but I find somebody better who needs it. Oh, King David's going to get up and move over, and King Jesus is going to walk through, and he's going to take the big seat, and David's going to be happy how to get back in the little one, amen. I'm saying this, if you don't get too big for your britches, God will help you to. Is that all right if I preach like that? That's country. I'm just preaching. Y'all take it up with God. I'm saying this, God will let you sit in some places. That's real good if you'll not get too big for your britches. You say, what kind of places will he let you sit in? Over there in the book of Ephesians, he talks about letting us sit in heavenly places. And, amen. Hey man, Kagan, I can tell you for sure, it's been a many a times I've got to come in and I've got to take the little seat. Yeah. And before I knew it, God took me up into a bigger seat and let me see some mighty good things by sitting in a little seat. But I've came in the house of God and chalked plumb full of pride, arrogance, amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I come in the house of God, I ain't got, you know the theme song of a lot of Baptists is, I shall not be moved, amen. Amen. And they'll say, like a tree planted by the waters. And they'll say, like a Baptist planted on the pews, I shall not be moved. Amen. And they won't be neither. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you wouldn't get too big for your britches, have the Holy Ghost come by your way, reach down to where you're at, pick you up out of that place, and bring you into high places, where you can enjoy the goodness and the presence of God. Amen. Oh, yes. That seat, you're getting used to it now, ain't you, son? Won't be long. David's sitting right there in the little seat long enough. He might get promoted, but it ain't just yet. It ain't just sometimes you just got to sit there. See, sitting in the little seat's embarrassing sometimes, ain't it? I mean, listen, you. I feel bad. I tell you this all the time, but I feel bad for my boys sometimes. Their daddy gets up and gets to preaching, snot coming out of his nose, spit coming out of his mouth. He looks like he's a wild man, about half ignorant. And I know they sit back there. And I know the devil says, man, look at that. Said, you ought to be ashamed of that fella right there. And, but I'll tell you this, I'm not ashamed of the old preachers. Amen. I say, preach on, thank God. Preach on, praise God. Preach on, praise God. I still like it, amen. I realize, hey preacher, I realize, thank God, how the way me and you preach is falling out of style fast. It's a running away like a Lamborghini, ain't it, amen. But I'm telling you, thank God, I still like it. It's still right for God to come down. Have that kind of preaching puts you in the little seat. And when you get in the little seat, you can see big things, amen. I'll say this to you, not only that, if you'll not get too big for your britches, you'll get a set some places. But if you'll not get too big for your britches, hey, you'll get to see some things too. Amen. I thought about old Zacchaeus in Luke 19. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good right there. Old Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19, Nate. He's there and there's a whole big crowd. And you know what the crowd gets to see? They get to see the crowd. That's what they get to see. They get to see the back of everybody else's head. They're trying to peek around, see who they can see, see where that thing can come from. But if you'll get little enough, thank God, you'll find a spot that only little'uns can fit in. I got to thinking about when we was in Africa. There's some mobbing us a little bit. And we got down there and there's one little old black kid. He thought, man, I'm going to climb up in this tree. And when I passed by under that tree down there by that river up on that village, that little fella, he's a standing up there and he's a hanging out on a limb and just looking over the top of it. I thought, that must be Zacchaeus. Amen. That must be Zacchaeus, amen. He got tired of looking at the crowd and he wanted to see the Lord. And the Bible said he sought to see him for who he was, amen. Now listen, let me hear it. I want y'all to hear me real good. Hey, you'll not never see the Lord for who he is when you're trying to sit in the big seat and you're too big for your britches, amen. Oh yeah. I remember when folks wasn't too big for their britches to come pray. I know y'all, some of you don't like the way I'm saying that, and I know it. And I want you to know this, the Lord knows it too. But when I was praying about a nicer way to say it, the Lord said, I didn't give you a nicer way to say it. You say it just like I said it. And you take it up with God. We'll stand at the judgment seat of God together, and you take it up with God. Days of time, listen, you're not real careful. You'll get too big for your britches to do anything for the Lord. He'll get to sitting back there, just enjoying sitting in the crowd, amen. I don't know where you're at this morning. I didn't come to Amazing Grace to see the crowd, amen. I didn't listen. I honest to God didn't even come this morning to preach the gospel. I came this morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in however form that is, or whatever seat I need to take, if I need to bring water to somebody else, if I need to encourage the crowd from where I sat. Only thing I'm interested in is the God of glory showing up, amen. And if you'll just sit in the little seat, I think so many times about that June the 3rd night. And I think, you know what happened really that night? Brother Kyle, we was having a prayer meeting. It wasn't a revival. Brother Tony was going to preach on prayer. And they wasn't nobody much interested in coming and listening about prayer, particularly after Brother Tony preached for about an hour and 15 minutes. After he preached that first night for an hour and 15 minutes, most everybody said, no, I'm not going back for that. I can get that on a CD, amen. I can get that on a CD. I can fast forward through. Y'all say amen right there, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm preaching right. That's true, and you know it, amen. And they said, after that first night, and we was going to come back the next night and going to come pray. And instead of coming and praying or coming and listening to preaching, you know what ended up happening? Everybody just got in a little seat. And when everybody got in a little seat, a big God showed up. And God said, if y'all was going to take the little spot, let me have the big spot. He said, you'll get to see things you didn't know you could see. Listen, I want my youngins. I realize I'm preaching to some oldins, and they'll never get out of the big seat. Amen. And they'll never get little again. But oh, thank God, listen, maybe some of my youngins will just stay in that little seat. They'll say, preacher, I don't need the big seat. Just let me stay in the little seat. I'd rather sit in the little seat and be mocked and made fun of and be ridiculed and get to see what God's doing than to sit in the biggest seat in this church. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Ozacchaeus wanted to see him for who he was, and guess what? He did. Ozacchaeus wanted him to come home with him. And guess what? He did. Zacchaeus wanted to be saved. Guess what? He was. Amen. Why? He took the little seat. Ozacchaeus said, I'll take his seat. Nobody else wants it. I'll climb up in that limb. You know that crowd went down and they're like, there's a grown man up there in that limb like a kid. They probably, some of his contemporaries looked at him and said, you know better than that. Get down. You too big for the big seat. I mean, for the little. Get down off that limb. And Zacchaeus said, oh, no. He said, I'm looking for somebody and I can't see him. No, listen, I got to find him. Boy, when you come to the house of God, I don't know what you come for. But if you're coming for any other reason other than to try to find Christ, just try to get in the little seat, would you? I mean, just to say, preacher, I'm probably just a little. Listen, old Davis, I'm going to tell you this. If we're not all just real careful, we hit some ages in our life. We get 16, and then we get 18, and then we get 21, and then the next thing you know, we're 40, and we all feel like we're a little too big for our britches. There's a time when nobody cared to sit in that seat right there. Nobody did. Nobody. They didn't know any better. They loved that seat. They loved it. Mary, I was praying about this, and some of you will remember it. You helped me pray. John, you helped me pray. But I was praying, and I went back, Terry, to when we was in that old building, and I don't know if there was a service for 3 years that I ever made it out of the choir without preaching. I thought, what happened? The Lord said, you got used to sitting in the big seat. Time to go back to the little seat. Go back to the little seat. Go back to the little seat, and I'll help you. Don't sit in the big seat. I can tell you an honest heart, I don't want to sit in the big seat in this church. I don't want you to sit in the big seat. I want God to come down.
Yes!
God sat in the big seat.
Yes!
Us sit in the little seat.
Yeah.
Not get used to just sitting. Miss Irene, there's not too many days I don't pray that I don't think about when I'm praying for you, that I don't think about that first time. And again, I'm not trying to isolate nobody. I'm just trying to talk to you. You'll remember Miss Irene, those of you that's there, that first time she opened up that book in the old church and she got to singing, What a Lovely Name. Y'all remember that? She must have sang it for 30 minutes while all of heaven fell that day. And I thought, oh God, what's happened? My answer is this. If we're not real careful, we just got too big for our britches. I thought I might stand by myself right there. But I remember whenever Paul stood by himself one time too. He said, notwithstanding. He said, the Lord stood with me. I'm going to say this. If you'll take the little seat and get real small, God will help you serve in some places. God will help you serve. The Apostle Paul, you know where the first place God put him? Look at me. Listen to me, please. You know the first place God put the great man? I'm talking about the one Keith that was as far as I can tell, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel on the Sanhedrin, Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the who's who. He was the poster boy of who's going places, Jeremy. You know where the first place God said, if you're going to be in my economy where you're going to have to fit, he put him in a basket on a wall and he lowered him down. He said, if you're going to fit in my life, you're going to have to be small enough to fit in the basket. Amen. And here's the mighty man, Paul. And he's sitting in a basket. And he realizes this. On the other side, there's some folks holding up a rope.
Paul's in the basket. Tammy and other folks are holding up the rope. They're holding up the rope. And Joshua, I got to thinking, listen, I promise you I'm trying to mind God the best I can. But I got to thinking about you. And me and you had a conversation one time. You said, Brother Kevin, I've never prayed harder for a church than I prayed for this one and at this time. And I thought, oh God. Oh God. You know why that was? You know really why that is? Had two little kids coming up and he needed them to be in a place where everybody was sitting in the little seat and there was a big God sitting in the big seat. When it come time for them to be saved, nobody else was trying to do it, just God, amen. And if we ain't careful, we just get too big for our britches. And we try to get out of the little seat. But this is the seat. This is the place God will help you. Say, oh King, oh the apostle. Y'all still with me? Say amen. At least Apostle Paul had to fit in a basket. Then he learned he had to fit behind bars. Then he learned he had to fit on a boat. And the whole place he learned, no matter where he's going to be at, if he's in a basket, he was a preacher. If he was behind bars, he was a preacher. If he was on the boat, he was a preacher. When he's on the boat, he had to encourage people. I thought about this, Julie. Probably the Apostle Paul sitting behind bars. That's probably the place where he felt like he was the least effective in his life. Yeah. And Justin, you know what the truth of the matter is? The Apostle Paul preaching hasn't helped me one time. But every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, particularly them ones he wrote when he is in prison, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, them right there, Ricky, I can't tell you how many times I've been down and out and I've opened up that book of Philippians and when I got to reading about, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And before you get to reading that, God gets to helping you and you're reminded that God done that for Paul when he was sitting in a seat he didn't want to be in. Amen. I'm glad Paul never got too big for his britches. You'll not never find a place. He said, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. He said, God, wherever you want to put me, I need my Bible, wherever you want to put me, he said, that's the set I'll sit in. That's where it'll be at. That's where it'll be at. And I'm afraid in our day in America, one of those things that bothers me, and I promise you, what other churches do is absolutely none of my business. It's none of my business. It's none of my business. None. They've got a pastor and it's between them and God. Shane, ain't none of my business. These times I'll turn on and I'll watch and there'll be 15 rows of chairs. And the biggest, you got to be somebody big to sit on that platform. I'll never sit in any of those chairs. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. And I want you to know this. To be a nobody, there's been times that somebody awful big's come by my way. And I may not never sit on the platform with the big name preachers, but I'm not really worried about whether they know my name or not. Don't really care if they know the address of this church or not. I want to tell you what I found out is you sat in that little chair and there's a mighty big God who takes note of you. I'm gonna say this to y'all. Y'all stand on your feet. I'm gonna give you this. And I'm gonna be done. I want you to listen to me real, real carefully, will you? Amy, the last place I got to thinking about that they took a little spot was that church at Philadelphia, over in Revelation chapter number 3. That little church over there in Philadelphia, God come by their way, and everybody said, bless their hearts. Said, y'all's little, and don't look like nobody's helping you none. And God came by and God penned a letter to them. When he wrote that letter, he said, you've had a little strength. He said, just a little bit. He said, so I'm going to set a door before you that no man can open and a door that nobody can shut. He said, you've kept my word. You're not denied my name. You know what that means? That means they took their seat in worship. They took their seat in the Word. They took their seat in the work. They said, God, if anything gets done here, you do it. And God said, since y'all took that attitude, I'll help you. I'll help you. Listen, come play. Whatever she's going to come play, I don't know your heart. I can just talk about mine. I don't want to get too big for my britches that God can't help me. And I don't want amazing grace. I don't want our church to get too big for our britches that God can't help us. That's not just on me. That's on all of us. That's on all of us. God help us. Go ahead, whatever you're going to play.